And if anyone met Francois last week, come up to me afterwards and ask me about his lion story. Because his lion story. The kids probably shouldn't hear about this story, but honestly, it's quite extraordinary that it didn't even make his A-list of anecdotes, to be honest. Right, we've got less time than normal this morning, and the subject we're dealing with this morning is life. So that shouldn't take too long. Right, let's pray. Father, we know you're here amongst us, Lord, because you paid the price so that you could be, Lord. So, Lord, we receive you and welcome you this morning. And Lord Jesus, we just prepare our hearts, Lord, before you, because, Lord, you want to speak to us this morning. Lord, your word has always got something to say to us. And, Lord, I just pray that you help me be the sower of the seed this morning. And, Lord, help me to bring those seeds from your word out, and Lord, help them to plant in people's hearts this morning. Lord, fill my mouth with your words. Lord Jesus, let your will be done. And Lord Jesus, let us just hear from you this morning. Lord, we just thank and praise you, your mighty, saving, glorious name. Amen. Right, so we've been going through the journey of maturity, haven't we? We've been looking at the Isaiah scripture. A child is born, a son is given, and on his... I haven't actually got written down, so I'm going to stumble through this bit. But on his shoulders rests the government, and he will be called Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So, Prince of Peace. So we've been looking at that as a blueprint that God gives us for that process, that even Jesus went through a process. A child is born, a son is given, and up, you know, moving towards Father. Even Jesus went through that. So we've looked at David and how he grew up in maturity, how he looked like a boy but fought like a warrior. We've looked at Timothy and Paul. We've looked at all sorts of different aspects of this. This morning I want to take a slightly side. So I was supposed to be kind of wrapping it up this week, and that'll be the next session when we wrap it up. But this morning I wanted to just take a little aside. Maybe God's just trying to use what happened on our big week last week, or maybe God's just trying to talk to us maybe about the inspiration we can take from that. So Scripture encourages us to move from Napios, which is a baby, through the stages of maturity until we grow up to not just mature adults, but it speaks of us in Matthew 5. It calls us to be telios, and telios means perfect. So this journey is a big reach for us, isn't it? This is beyond what we could expect in our normal lives. And, you know, of course, in all these things, we have the supernatural coming through. And it's not just about what we do, it's about what God does in us as well. Transformation comes from the Father. But we've got this challenge from babies through to telios, to fathers, perfect fathers. Like I say, Matthew 5, it calls to be perfect like our Father. So what I wanted to look at this morning was what does that look like? What does a telios life look like? And one of the other scriptures I really want us to grab hold of this morning is one you probably heard a lot before, but it's John 10:10. It's a nice, easy one to remember. Even I can remember that particular reference, John 10:10. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so that they may have life, and life in its fullest measure. I have come so that they may have life and life in its fullest measure. So we're called to this full life, this teleos life, this incredible life that God's calling us to. But what does it look like? So what is it that we're being encouraged towards? I've got a video for you to play. Peter, master of all things technical, would you mind just pulling up the video for me? Peter, master of all things technical. Oh, sorry. Got more help than I thought I would. Right, I've got a video here which maybe is what we think of when we talk about living life to the fullest measure. So if we could just get that playing. Where it's up here at the top somewhere. Down. Some action. Can you see that?
Later.
Yeah, peace.
So what we've got there is basically like the world's biggest rope swing. And those kind of images are what are presented to us. I mean, these guys just do a whole series of this kind of stuff, you know, water jet packs and like madness, jumping out off of stuff. Yeah, and I know there's one or two people that are probably sitting there thinking, yes, that is life, and life's at its fullest. That is what Jesus was talking about. Well, the numbers are climbing. We're getting kind of group mentality here as well. Yes! So maybe this is next year's Hogenslog. Good example there. I don't know what's going to come up next on the video, so I don't know if you want to stop this, actually, please, just in case. Putting the word extreme in for a search, probably you don't know what's going to come up. Right, so that's what we think of, isn't it, when we talk about life to the fullest. And when anyone says, I live life to the full, I sort of do every, you know, I take every moment that I can and sort of just like it's my last, all this kind of thing. That's what we think of when the kind of imagery we think of. So is Jesus talking about us getting the biggest buzz of our life? Is he talking about these big adrenaline rushes? So is Jesus talking about a life where we're literally just spending our time trying to think of the craziest way we can nearly kill ourselves? Is it about Micah? Is it about kind of amazing experiences? Is it about me broadening my horizons? Is it about me being busy with everything in the world, you know, everything that we have, filling my time, you know, I'm living life to the full, so I've got to fill it with all the madness, and I won't sleep until 3 o'clock in the morning, and I will get up early the next day and you know, is it about that kind of lifestyle? Living life to the full is a difficult concept for us to understand because it is different for all of us. So one of the examples from my own life is I thought my life was really full. I wasn't jumping into canyons. I wasn't parachuting and that sort of stuff. But, you know, doing stuff I wanted to be doing through my design and running my own fashion label. So for me, the extreme stuff was watching my creations come down the catwalk in London. For me, the extreme stuff was, you know, mixing with the kind of the fashionistas and, you know, seeing my work kind of out there in the big wide world. You know, they were the kind of things that I was, that was living my life to full, I thought. They're the kind of things we, alongside doing worship and church, and you know, I thought my life was full. This was when I was about 28, 29. Then we started talking about having children, and I thought, no, my life is too full for that. I'm living life to the full already, thanks. but then we had children, and suddenly you realise your life wasn't full at all, don't you? You realise that actually. You had a big space in your life because all of a sudden you've got something else in there which has totally turned your world upside down, has totally turned your kind of, not goals as such, but totally turned your priorities upside down. So suddenly my full life was fuller still. So it's difficult for us to know if we're living life to the full, isn't it? And I don't think we can know ourselves what fullness is. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure those guys think they are living life to the max, which, you know, to be fair, they're doing a good, fairly good job of it there. But I don't think even those guys can say they're living life to the full, because I don't think we can judge that ourselves. I don't think we can see that ourselves. Because life is bigger than those big moments, isn't it? Life is beyond those kind of big adrenaline rushes. And I believe that Scripture shows us that we don't know what fullness is, what life is. We don't know what life is all about. We don't know how full our life can be until we submit ourselves to something beyond our lives. So time and time again we see in Scripture that we won't find life until we die. We won't find life until we've found death in ourselves. And that coming back to John 10:10, the first part of that scripture, it maybe gives us a clue as to what life is by looking at what life isn't. So this, it says in John 10:10, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. So when we look at the things we do, when we look at our lives, are the things we're doing stealing, killing, or destroying? What is the fruit of the things we're doing? So are we just all about taking from the world? And, you know, living life to the full can be all about that, can't it? It can be all about, you know, taking the adrenaline rushes, taking the experience, taking. But in John 10:10 there, it says that is that stealing, killing and destroying. But Jesus has come so that we have life and life in its fullest. So are we walking a life of peace and goodness and joy? Are those the things that we should be looking for rather than the obvious my life is living my life to the full stuff? Is our life full of creating and building and growing? Because these are all hallmarks of Jesus in us, I think. You know, these are all fruits of having Jesus in us. We start to see peace come through. You know, these are fruits of the Spirit. We start to see kindness coming through. We start to see love coming through. So as we start to live our life to the full, as we start to receive this promise from Jesus, living life to the full, should we start seeing those kind of fruits come through in our life? Is that how we judge whether we're living life to the full or not? Where are we leading other people? Are we leading them into kind of dark places? Are we leading them into themselves? Is our full life just about us? The seeds we're planting with what we're doing, what tree will grow from them? Like I say, what's that fruit? Is it the kindness, love, perseverance? All these kind of fruits that we should expect to see in our lives when we follow Jesus. Much of what we think of as living life to the full is often just about living in the moment, regardless of the future. I mean, to a degree, you need some of that, don't you? I mean, I don't think you can stand at the top of that canyon thinking about your future and sort of where this is going to take you and jump off. You've kind of got to just do it, haven't you? But I think sometimes when we try and grab a full life for ourselves, we focus it on ourselves. It becomes about the moment, about us, how we feel. But Jesus' fullness is about living now to build eternal treasure, to build for the future. The fullness of life that Jesus has for us is about our eternity, is about the treasure we build up in heaven. It's the famous line from the film Trainspotting. I know it's a really 90s reference, but it is quite a good film. And I think it's a sort of classic, I think, so I think I can get away with it. So the film Trainspotting, if anyone remembers it or is brave enough to admit they've seen it, it says, and there's a song that came out of it as well, you can choose a dishwasher, you can choose a car, you can choose a house, you can choose your wife, you can choose your... And he goes through this long list of these things that we fill our lives with. And then at the end he says, I chose another way. I chose not to choose life. I chose something else. And there's something of a truth in that, but often with the greatest of lies, there's something of the truth in them. So obviously he's talking about an alternative lifestyle of all the bad things in the world that even dishwashers and cars and things like that are better than. But there's something about choosing our life, choosing not to choose what we're fed with from our culture, choosing not to choose that kind of aspirational stuff that we're fed by the telly and by the world around us. And so choosing another way is great, I think. And I think is what life in its fullness is all about. But it's choosing, not just choosing your life, it's choosing someone's life in you. Jesus is the fullness. Jesus is life in all its fullness. To gain a John 10:10 life, so to gain that life and life in its fullness, we've got to trust him to take us there. So unlike a train spotting man, I can't remember his name in it now, but unlike him, where he chose, you know, all bad stuff for his life, for us to gain life in its fullness, we choose someone and trust him to take us there. So how do we do that? How do we choose to choose Jesus? How do we choose to choose that life in its fullness? Well, God's thought this through already. God had a plan right from the start of how we could choose that. So he sent his son to this earth to be crucified, to take our sins, so that his blood could be the gateway for us to choose life and life in its fullness. God sent his son to earth so that he could be spat on and humiliated and destroyed, so that he could be killed and destroyed, so that his blood could be what we choose to give us life in its fullness. So our path to life and life in its fullness starts with death. Jesus' death, and then our death through him. Crazy, hey? Our path to life starts with death. Repentance, submission, and taking up Jesus' life for us. Matthew 7:13, it says, "Go in through the narrow gate, for the gate that leads to destruction is wide, and the road broad, and many travel it. But it is a narrow gate and a hard road that leads to life, and only a few find it." So a couple of weeks ago, when I was talking about maturity, we were looking at the small decisions making up or creating an environment for us to make good big decisions. So those little things we say, oh, I can get away with either way, they're the decisions that create the environment for us to just make the good big decisions. Does that make sense? So we don't just come out with the big good big decisions. We have to make all sorts of small good decisions first before we get to those big decisions. We've got to choose that hard road. We've got to choose that even though I can get away with, I'm going to anyway because it's the right thing to do. We've got to choose that even though I could spend my time doing whatever I liked, we've got to choose that hard road because we know it's the path to life. We've got to choose that even though I could spend my weekends jumping through canyons, which maybe is some of the weekends I do spend doing, that my heart and my focus is about being beyond myself, about taking others on this incredible journey with Jesus, taking others to that point where they can accept his blood and go through that gateway to life and life in its fullness. So last week we had the yacht guys with us. There's some incredible stories there. I mean, people that did spend time with talking to them about their backgrounds, so the year training guys we had with us, they're young, a lot of them are young guys. You'd think had nothing to say about the world. They're just here to sort of paint. But some of the stories they came with, I don't know about anyone else, but were just so inspiring. You know, they're guys and girls that have made tough decisions, that have walked the hard, really hard yards. You know, they're some inspirational stories, but not necessarily like really inspirational people. People from normal backgrounds, from church backgrounds, from non-church, you know, real kind of spread. So we had these guys, and who would say that they have something? They're living life to the full, aren't they? Sort of general agree, or do we think maybe they're just chilling out for the rest of the summer now, and they just go back and they just turn it on when they come. They really kind of have grabbed life. And again, some of the stories, which I won't go into now, just kind of open your eyes to what the world is can really be. So they were telling stories about miracles, incredible miracles, about adventures and some of the things that they kind of been in places and things they've been involved in, about joy and craziness and changing, some of the changed lives that we kind of heard about through them. Absolutely incredible. And we heard about them impacting the nations. They're going to Canada, South Africa, Ukraine, you know, all over the world, having an impact, these young guys. So do we find that inspiring, or are we just a bit jealous? We find that inspiring, a bit jealous. It's, you know, probably a bit of both. But they started their last year, they started their year of training, not by running out into the street going, "Woo, come on, well, we're gonna take you on, and we're gonna jump into canyons, and we're gonna ski down glaciers, and we're gonna leap out of helicopters." They started their journey last year to this life and its fullness, dying to themselves. Every single last one of them you spoke to had that decision to make, where they said, "You know what, my life, I'm a young person, most of them, I could do anything, but I'm going to decide to trust Jesus with this year, that he will bring me that life." So every single last one of those people started their journey by dying. Being especially that kind of first couple of weeks, they're specifically designed to break them, basically. They're designed to kind of break that kind of self-reliance in them, or break that kind of, break them. So they come to the point where they rebuild in God's way in their life. That narrow path. That hard, narrow path that Jesus calls us to. The path of dying, even if it seems attractive at the time, and turning away and walking towards Jesus, because we know that's where life is. Paul says it like this, and we've looked at this recently as well. For to me, life is the Messiah and death is gain. Or for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So I believe we need to develop a John 10:10 vision. So just remember that scripture, John 10:10. I came to give you life, and life in the fullness. We need to grab adventure and joy in life. And I love to think that I could jump into a canyon like that and go on the world's biggest rope swing. I'd love to think that that kind of adventure would be in my life. But we've got to be dare to be fuller than we can imagine. Dare to believe that Jesus has a fuller life for us. But we start that adventure and that joy and that life through repentance, submitting, and dying to ourselves. Living life to the full begins and ends with Jesus. So if we want that life, it's got to begin with Jesus. He is the well of living water. He is the light of the world. He will show us what 10:10 vision looks like. He will show us what life and life in its fullness looks like. If only we just dare to trust him with every decision and grab everything he has for us. So this call to life and life in its fullness, this call from Jesus, is both a challenge to repent and a challenge to take life, to receive life. Doesn't stop at the cross. It doesn't stop at repentance. Repentance is the first step to life. Death is the first step to life. We've got to receive that living water. We've got to receive that light. So my question this morning is, will you answer that call? Will you answer the call to a full life? Will you answer that call to repentance? My second question is, what life do you want? Because I think very often we can feel like we're given life, but we don't. We choose life. Things happen to us, but we choose. We choose what we do. So what life do we want? Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you give us a little bit of a reset this morning, Lord, and what we understand of life in its fullness. Lord Jesus, maybe even what we envisioned our life to be like, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you break that in us, and Lord, that we come to repentance in you, Lord Jesus, because we all carry incorrect thinking. We all carry incorrect perceptions about ourselves and about our lives, Lord. So, Father, bring us to that point where we trust you enough to lay down our lives, and Lord Jesus, to pick up the life you have for us. Lord Jesus, help us to understand that full life goes beyond us and is all about you. Help us to understand, Lord Jesus, that you are all about, Lord Jesus, the fun, the adventure, the joy. Lord Jesus, you are all about that. And Lord Jesus, we just submit to you this morning, Lord Jesus. And I just pray, Lord, in faith that this week, Lord, that whichever of us takes that time to sit and repent before you, Lord, that you'll put opportunity before us, that you'll open a door, Lord Jesus, that you'll open a door to life, Jesus. Lord, we just trust you. And Lord Jesus, we just make ourselves vulnerable, Lord Jesus, to your will. Lord, we thank and praise you, Lord, because you are a good God and you only have good things for us. But Lord, blow our minds, Lord Jesus, with what you want for us. And Lord Jesus, that life you have for us. Lord, we just thank and praise you. We just pray, Lord Jesus, come and transform us in your mighty saving name. Amen. I've got one last picture to show you, actually. Which is there, which you just looks like a grey splodge on a white wall, to be honest. It's difficult to see, I'm afraid, but I can show you afterwards. This is a picture I created, in actual fact. And what I did was, I took, and you can see, I've got it on my iPad, so I can show you better afterwards. But what I did was, I took 6 months' worth of photos from my phone, and I'd laid them up and sort of did some Photoshop stuff on them. When you actually see it, what you get is quite a painterly sort of tone. It almost looks like an old oil painting. It kind of looks like one of those sort of National Gallery jobs. But the reason I wanted to show you this morning is that our lives and the colour of our lives and the tone of our lives are made up from all those little decisions. So if we want our life to look like a particular colour, then we've got to make all those small decisions to build it up. Our lives aren't a timeline. We don't cut off each day and like it has never happened. Each day flavours the next. So, I can show you that afterwards. But, yeah, it's just kind of interesting when you start to see your kind of life layering up like that, the kind of the different things that come out of it.